Midnight movie review time. If you saw any movies, you got a comment or a question about any of them, give us a call at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Send your text to 24720 or go to facebook.com/Nick D Show. Let's welcome Colin to the show. Hi, Colin.
Hello there.
And Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
All right, guys. We've got some movies to talk about here. And as normal, we do, we'll start with information about the on-demand movies. Now, since there are so many different ways now to see movies, you can go to the movie theaters, you can actually stream them online, you can get them on-demand. We want to cover all of the possibilities. So if you're going to stay home over the weekend and you want to watch a movie, a brand new movie, even before it hits the theaters, that is available for you on-demand. We'll give you the list of the on-demand movies. I immediately need to ask you about Hansel and Gretel Get Baked.
Yeah, don't you?
Yeah. Now, we've already had a Hansel and Gretel movie this year.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I kind of enjoyed it. But what is Hansel and... I mean, I'm assuming it's about pot?
Well, yeah, I mean, you hear the title, and it actually took me, like, two times here, saying the title to myself to sort of get the double pun of it. And that, yes, it is about, there is a pun element to it.
Uh-huh.
But then also, if you know the story of Hansel and Gretel,
right,
there's also an element to, obviously, them putting them in the oven and
right,
stuff. So, yeah, it's a modern day story about a brother and sister named Hansel and Gretel. And as the movie opens, Gretel is indeed getting baked with her boyfriend,
mm-hmm,
enjoying the pot, as you will. But there is also a witch in the neighborhood who happens to be the local pot dealer, or at least everyone seems to think so.
Uh-huh.
And she is played by Laura Flynn Boyle.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Where has she been?
Apparently, being judged on this movie, getting a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And ironically, she plays a witch who is older, so she's already wearing a lot of old-age makeup in the film. And she's luring people to her den with the wacky weed, and then eating them, cooking them, and all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As the film opens, I said, I mean, there is this pot element to it, and it's playing like it's going to be like this sort of wacky, take on the Hansel and Gretel legend. Even Laura Flynn Boyle is kind of playing it for laughs a little bit. But this movie really kind of takes a quick turn into becoming like a horror movie. And it gets incredibly gory, and it's just Gretel trying to find her boyfriend who's been eaten by the witch and, taking her through the dark, corners of the witch's house and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the witch is cooking people up, trying to get younger. And like I said, I mean, seeing Laura Flynn Boyle go from old age makeup to, this really kind of horrid plastic surgery that she's got as sort of a younger version of herself in the movie, that's probably the scariest part of the movie.
Uh-huh.
So it's a weird hybrid movie that kind of leans on the side of horror, and it's really not very good.
Wow. All right. Hansel and Gretel Get Baked. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Hunky Dory.
Yeah, Hunky Dory is a film that premiered at South by Southwest last year, or maybe even the year before. And it stars Minnie Driver as a drama teacher in the mid-70s who is putting on a musical version of Shakespeare's The Tempest.
Uh-huh.
So kind of a coming of age story. I haven't seen this one yet. I heard some mixed things about it at the festival last year. Didn't exactly encourage me to catch up with it.
Okay. Well, evidently it's they don't have a release date for it. I'm guessing it's just going to be the on-demand thing.
It looks that way, yeah.
Yeah, because some of these movies don't even get theatrical releases now. They just,
mm-hmm,
they're, All right, well, what is Like Someone in Love?
Like Someone in Love is the new Abbas Kiarostami film that, again, played a lot of festivals last year. It's actually going to be opening at the Music Box next week. I'm getting a copy of that, so we'll be able to review that in full next week when it opens at the Music Box.
Oh, okay. So it opens next week at the Music Box.
Yeah.
But it is available right now on demand. All right. And then Red Flag.
Red Flag is the first of two films by Alex Karpovsky, who's on Girls.
All right.
Yeah, and this film is also kind of a, from what I understand, it's kind of a almost like a documentary comedy hybrid. It takes place during a tour that he was putting on, this film that he did called Woodpecker several years ago, which I saw at South by Southwest, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just him doing a tour, a festival tour. But it starts off that way, but then sort of becomes sort of a comic version of him on the festival tour. I heard mixed things about it too, but I was because I like him when he's doing comedy. I'm looking forward to checking that one out.
All right, and then he's got another movie that's on demand.
Yeah, and this one's called Rubberneck.
Yeah,
and this one most definitely is not a comedy. It's directed by Alex Kropowski, co-written by him, and also stars him again. And this one, he plays a guy who works in a laboratory, a science laboratory, and he has this movie opens. He has a fling with a coworker, really kind of a hot and heavy kind of weekend that cools off rather quickly. And then 8 months later, he's still a little kind of hung up on her. Things have not didn't go well, but he still they work together, and he develops sort of an unhealthy fixation on her, if you will.
Yeah.
He's got some family issues in his past that sort of suggest a little kind of a psychological break with the fairer sex. And so the movie is that psychosexual stalker kind of relationship throughout the movie. The movie starts off interesting, kind of drags a little bit, then takes another interesting turn, and the last 20 minutes kind of fails on its premise and gets, kind of pretentious, and doesn't really go where it probably should. So it was kind of a disappointment for me.
Okay, all right, that's Rubberneck. So those are all available on demand: Hansel and Gretel Get Baked, Hunky Dory, Like Someone in Love, Red Flag, and Rubberneck, and Like Someone in Love. We'll be playing the Music Box next week, so we'll have a full review of that. Are you guys heading over to the Music Box to see any of the 70mm stuff?
A little busy lately.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had the time myself.
Yeah, I'm going to go Monday because they're showing The Master, so I'm going to finally get.
Well,
to
there
see
you
it.
Go.
I'm finally going to get to see it in 70mm. So. Very excited about it. But you can check out the Music Box schedule. They're showing a lot of classic movies in the beautiful format of 70mm, and it's a very cool festival that they're doing at the Music Box. You should always check it out. So check out themusicboxcom for more, musicboxtheater.com for more information on that. Nick DiGilio here live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower on WGN, and it is the Midnight Movie Reviews. And if you have comments or questions about movies, we got some time to take some calls tonight. So the phone lines are now open. Movie questions, comments, reviews, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Colin Suter, Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com join us, and welcome back, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Colin, why don't you tell us about, you're the only person that's seen this one. Tell us about The Gatekeepers.
All right. The Gatekeepers is one of the 5 Oscar-nominated documentaries, and it consists of interviews and footage of the interviews are with the previous heads of Shin Bet, which is the Israeli security agency, sort of like the CIA of the Middle East. Their activities have always been kept secret. But basically they're in charge of, terrorist interrogation, providing intelligence, and also making some, pretty tough life and death decisions regarding, bombings and arrests and, other warlike scenarios as they've dealt with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And the movie goes, it traces the conflict, back to, I think it started like in the 50s or 60s is where the movie starts, and it goes up to present day. And how the, peace deals with Arafat in the 90s sort of backfired, and where the conflict is at today, with Hamas and, suicide bombings, and basically how there's very little hope for everlasting peace in that region.
Yeah.
But it's the interviews and the points of view of these men who've been in charge, you know, that really give the movie, you know, its real weight as they grapple, you know, with the moral gray areas that they've dealt with when making the decision to, say, you know, bomb a building that is housing terrorists but might also be housing innocent civilians, stuff like that. And the movie does a really good job of putting everything into the context of the fact that, you know, this region, this area, and the conflict that has become so messed up, obviously, that morality as we know it barely even exists anymore. It's not about morality over there. It's about victory, and victory over there means watching the other guy suffer. And this is a very good, very thought-provoking film. And it sort of does for its subject matter what, you know, Enron, the smartest man in the room, and Inside Job, and No End in Sight did for their subjects. Meaning you don't have to be well-versed in this to get what the movie is about. In fact, if you want to know more about this subject, this is a good place to start. It lays it out pretty simply. But what's going to stick with you when it's over is the thought process that these guys go through on a regular basis. You know, when dealing with, you know, very gray areas, morally speaking, ethically speaking, all that, in a world where everyone wants everything to be black and white. So I highly recommend this movie. It's very riveting. I wasn't sure I was going to like it. I just wasn't sure if I was going to be into it. But I found myself actually very riveting. So definitely check it out.
Good. And it's this weekend, it's nominated for Best Documentary. And I know that there are a lot of people out there. I was talking with Marcus, and I think you guys agree with me on this. There are a lot of people who around this time of year get become completists, where they want to.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you want to see everything that's nominated, or at least all the major categories and stuff.
So,
this is your chance. You can go to the Landmark Century Cinema, which is on Clark and Diversey in Chicago, and in Evanston at the Century 12 in Evanston. They are both showing The Gatekeepers, which is getting...
And the Renaissance in Highland Park.
Oh, it's in Highland Park as well. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Three choices, three theaters showing The Gatekeepers. And do we know the odds are that this thing might win tomorrow? Is there a favorite going into the documentary category?
It seems to be Sugar Man.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's been winning everything.
Okay.
Up to this point. So.
Okay. Searching for Sugar Man seems to be the feature. But we're going to discuss that tomorrow night when we make our predictions. And all that good stuff, and talk about the Academy Awards tomorrow night after 11 o'clock when Eric and Colin join me for that. So The Gatekeepers is out right now, so you should definitely check it out. We have a quick call here. This is Trucker Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Nicky D. How you doing tonight?
All right.
Excellent. This is coming from left field because I usually come from left field, I guess. But have you ever seen the movie called The Player with Timothy Robbins?
Sure, of course.
With Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a classic. It's kind of a classic, Joe.
Oh, it is.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See that? I was at home late at night, and my favorite movie is the one I turn on usually 5 minutes into it. I don't know what the title is or anything, but I get caught up into it, you know.
Yeah.
And this was on TV, and anyhow, I know I'm carrying on, but that movie just blew me away, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it came out in 1992. Robert Altman directed it. Saw all-star cast, satire of the movie business, and was pretty critically acclaimed and very popular when it came out. And made a lot of top 10 lists that year and everything. Now, where do you guys stand at, Colin? Where do you stand on the Player?
I like The Player. I mean, I watched it not too long ago after not having seen it in a while, and you know, it's like all the notions about Hollywood at that time seem very quaint today.
Yeah.
You almost long for the days of The Player when they were, you know, talking that much about screenwriters. You know,
yeah.
So much different
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Eric, where do you stand on The Player?
I happen to love that movie. It's actually one of my favorite Altman movies. I think the script is great, and Robbins is so good in it. It's a really good thriller on top of it being a satire, I think.
Nothing but positivity coming about from us, Joe, on the player.
That's why they call me old school, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
You got it. All right, Joe, take care, man.
Okay, peace. Cool.
It's never too late to discover a movie, right?
No.
No, especially that one.
Especially a film like
that. Old again. That player is old school.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to my world, pal. All right, you guys, hang on. We got the news is coming up, and then we got more movies to review right here on WGN, and it's Nick DiGilio. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are in the middle of the midnight movie reviews, and if you would like to join us, we would love to hear from you. Movie comments, movie questions, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Colin and Eric from eFilmCritic.com join me every week to do the movie reviews at midnight, and we are getting back into that right now. All right, Eric.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about Dark Skies?
Okay. Well, Dark Skies stars Kerry Russell and Josh Hamilton as a suburban couple having a little struggling with the economy. Josh Hamilton's character is out of work, but they're about to have bigger problems coming faced upon them when some mysterious events begin happening around their house. They have two young sons. The youngest son begins sleepwalking, and there are also some mysterious things going on in their house. It seems that something is breaking into their house and eating all their food out of the refrigerator and stacking all their groceries in very elaborate concoctions. So as the things get stranger and birds begin crashing into their house, Kerry Russell's character starts doing some research and believes that they may have been targeted by aliens, possibly for abduction, maybe for something more, who knows. And through the course of their investigation, they begin, you know, they start thinking they're crazy, and they become sort of pariahs in the neighborhood as other things start happening to their boys. And they meet an alien expert, played by J.K. Simmons, who sort of lays out that may be indeed what is going on with their family. Film was written and directed by Scott Stewart, and I did not know that going in at the time. This is the guy that did two of the worst movies of the last several years, Legion and Priest.
I like Legion.
You shouldn't, but that's okay.
Priest was stupid, but I liked Legion.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. this is most certainly the best thing he's done, with obviously several reservations. The film very much takes, you know, the slow burn approach that Shyamalan Ding Dong did with Signs. And the one thing you notice while watching the movie is that this guy is clearly cribbing from as many alien invasion films as he possibly can. Obviously, you have the food rating stuff from Close Encounters. There's another Close Encounters reference later in the movie. Signs, obviously. I mean, the film takes place around Independence Day, for God's sakes. So there's a lot of that going on. But I appreciated that the movie did not just go for sort of easy jump scares, you know, all the time. I mean, there's a lot of weirdness going on, and it at least sort of kept me in the game. And I think the scene, you know, obviously very late in the film, it takes almost about an hour to get to him with J.K. Simmons. I think it's a pretty terrific scene. Simmons is really quite good in that moment. And then you get to the last 15 minutes as the film sort of builds up to a film pretty much almost exactly like Signs did. There's a dinner table sequence straight out of Signs where the family kind of reunites and prepares for the worst, but sort of relive happy times. And then the last 15 minutes happen, And it is a letdown of just epic proportions. It is so uninspired. It's not scary. It sort of goes against the formula that it was sort of building up to, and then it sort of just goes off on its own tangent. And then it gives you a second ending that's even dumber than the first. This is a film that I was kind of almost leaning towards giving a pass to until the last 15 minutes, to where I cannot recommend it at all.
Okay. I think you and I are pretty close on this one. I think I may have liked it a little bit more. Well, here's why.
Hi, I'm Carrie Russell, and I love Nick's radio show.
That's right. My future ex-wife is in it.
Hi, Carrie.
You know, I think there's some very effective stuff in this movie, and I'm glad that you mentioned J.K. Simmons because he really rocks in this film, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a role that, like, you know, it's that role. It's the
yeah.
it's that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in every horror movie or science fiction movie, there is that guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah. In Sinister last year, D'Onofrio played that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
And, you know, it's one of those deals where anybody could play that role, but he comes in and he really does a great job. And
mm-hmm.
I think a much better job than this movie deserves, quite frankly.
Not so much.
But I think there's some pretty creepy stuff in this movie. And I agree with you. There are 26 different endings.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with Marcus about it when he was in studio, Marcus Leshock from Channel 9. And we were talking about he had just gotten back from seeing it. And he's like, I stayed through the credits at the end thinking there was going to be another ending. And I was
yeah.
like, yeah, I can understand. I can totally
yeah.
understand that. But I do think that there's almost enough here to recommend it. I agree with you. The ending is really very disappointing. And,
yeah.
But there are some great things in this movie. And I think everybody actually is pretty good in it. I think Josh Hamilton is good. I love Carrie Russell, obviously.
Carrie Russell is very good in the movie.
She is. She's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some scary things in the movie. I think there are some genuinely creepy moments. And I like the fact that they went for the slow burn. I think clearly this is the best movie that this Scott Stewart guy has made,
mm-hmm.
Even though I liked Legion. But I liked Legion in a very silly way.
Yes.
This is a much more serious film.
Yeah.
It gets silly, but I think the tone of this movie is a lot different than Priest or Legion.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, I couldn't go so far to say that I was scared during the movie or necessarily completely creeped out there. I mean, it's sort of an unsettling premise. Obviously, Fire in the Sky is another film that I thought of, obviously, a film that I kind of like.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the film sort of takes you to a point that even though, you know, there are people like, you know, hearing things and, you know, weird nosebleeds and, like, looking up towards the sky and, like, as if something's pulling them that way. But it takes the approach that all this stuff, like, could be happening, like, around the neighborhood and no one would notice. And until the ending.
Right.
With the ending, it was just like, how is nobody in the neighborhood seeing that this is going on?
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And up to that point, I was just like, so you're going to go this way. Oh, you just kind of failed yourself.
You know, the audience I saw it with seemed to really react well to it. They really dug it. And I don't know what it's going to do, you know, money-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have there been any, like, good sci-fi horror movies recently?
I don't think so.
See, that's what I mean. I think this is filling some sort of void.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling that maybe this movie will do okay, you know? And
I think
that
it might open okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to recommend it with reservations, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't screen it. It's not that bad a movie that they couldn't have screened it.
No, that's the big – that's like seriously. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the movie, I'm like, this movie should have been screened.
Yeah.
I mean, it falls apart towards the end, as we've discussed. But,
right.
God, I've seen movies that were screened this year already that are 50 times worse than this movie.
Yeah, clearly.
That they screened for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of cool.
Okay.
I think there's enough in it to slightly recommend it. Clearly, it has problems. But I as a sci-fi horror movie, I think it does what it's supposed to do. So, I kind of liked it. All right. You guys hang on. We have a Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie to talk about called Snitch, and we'll tell you all about that one coming up right here on WGN. If you saw any movies and you got comments or questions, and if you want to join us, phone lines are always open. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Midnight Movie Reviews will continue right here on WGN. Yes, it is the Midnight Movie Reviews. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. Colin Suter, Eric Childress, both from eFilmCritic.com, join me every week to talk about the... What did we just lose? I think I just lost... I lost Colin. Uh-oh. Eric?
Yeah.
We lost Colin. So,
oh, no.
Colin, call
Bailey
back.
Got him.
Colin, call back. I hit the wrong button. So, anyway. So are you, you're looking forward to the Academy Awards, aren't you, Eric?
Oh, yeah, because I think that there's an interest this year that the awards are going to be very spread out. I think there could be some real shocks.
Yeah.
Sunday night. I mean, honestly, there are a few categories that could go really any kind of way.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting thing to see.
Yeah.
So, all right. We're still waiting on Colin to call back. I think he's here. Is that Colin? All right, Colin. Hey, Colin.
Hello there.
That was my fault. I'm an idiot.
All right.
All right, Colin. Why don't you tell us about Snitch?
All right. Well, this is the new thriller starring Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock. And in it, The Rock plays an average guy who owns a freight business, and his teenage son at the beginning of the film gets caught in an FBI sting when he has a FedEx package delivered to his house that contains a massive amount of hard drugs. Well, as it turns out, his friend ratted him out in order to get a lighter sentence. And they'll do the same for The Rock's son if he can just direct them to another bigger drug dealer. But he doesn't want to be a snitch like his friend, even though his parents, who are divorced, are begging him to reconsider. But the dad wants to do what he can to save his son. And it turns out one of his employees at the freight business is an ex-con who has a connection to one of the town's bigger drug dealers. So The Rock convinces his employee to help him go undercover and try to get in good with this drug dealer by offering to be a drug transporter. See, because he has free, semi-trucks. And he makes a deal with the feds that if he can get them this drug dealer, that should be, enough to let his son go free as a trade-off. And who are the feds in this case? Barry Pepper, who has one of the greatest goatees in film history in this movie. And Susan Sarandon as a lawyer who is running for Congress. The movie is it's one of those movies that just kind of plays out exactly as you'd expect. Every situation kind of ends exactly as you'd kind of hope it would in real life, or everything just kind of turns out okay. There's not a lot of suspense to this movie, but there are a lot of you have to suspend your disbelief a lot. I don't think a drug dealer would look at a guy like The Rock and think, yeah, this guy's legit. He doesn't look like an undercover cop at all, or an undercover whatever. Stuff like that's hard to swallow. And I think the script itself is very simplistic in its depiction of, everything. It's kind of one of those, the character of the drug cartel, the Malik is the character. Basically, it's a character that's sort of written as you would expect a screenwriter to write a drug dealer character who's never met a drug dealer before. But he's thinking, they must sit around and think like, oh, well, they use words like, homie, and they call the police the popo, just not a lot of imagination there. However, Dwayne Johnson is very good in the movie. It's one of his best performances. And it's not a chore to sit through by any stretch. I mean, there's good actors in this. Barry Pepper's good. Susan Sarandon, it's a very watchable movie. But it doesn't have any real sense of danger to it that it really needs to give it a full recommendation. So it could do a lot worse, but you could also do a lot better too.
Okay, Eric.
Yeah, I kind of have the same reaction. I might have liked it a little bit more than Colin. I think, if anything, this movie suffers just from a severe case of being underwritten. Like Colin said, there's a lot of obvious stuff going on. It's like the scenes, play out exactly the way they do, and then, they sort of hit you with, a statistic about real life. They kind of wedge that into certain scenes, so you sort of get the idea that obviously the drug trade or drug laws are not exactly fair. And also the scenes when you get to points where the sort of the intensity should be cranked up to 11, they kind of go to about 6 or 7 maybe, and then just never quite reach sort of the real level of intensity. I think a better director would have maxed out sequences, especially in the second half of the movie, get a better worth out of bang for your buck kind of thing. But like Colin said, I mean, Dwayne Johnson really anchors this movie, and I think it's because of him that makes it as watchable as it is. I mean, like you said, this guy walks into a room, and obviously, I think they solve the undercover cop scene, or thought well enough. But he could, he kicked the ass out of anyone in the room. But he doesn't play it like that. And they don't give him scenes where he's just going to start throwing down and punching people and, throwing them over his back and whatnot like he could. He's actually kind of genuinely scared and kind of, out of his element throughout the movie. And that was a very wise choice. But, by the end, I was like, I was not bored. I've just kind of walked out going like, it was all right. That was okay. Dwayne Johnson, yes, very watchable movie. Just kind
of. Yeah. I liked it more than both of you guys. I really did. And I think DeRock's great in it.
He is.
He's really terrific. I think it's his best performance in Southland Tales. And
you're right.
Barry Pepper, fantastic. I love this guy. I love him.
Yeah, I like Barry Pepper.
I love him. It's like, where did this cast come from? This is like a genre movie, like a B movie with headlined by a professional wrestler and getting some amazing cast members. Omar rules.
So, well, he's playing Omar.
I know, but he's Omar, man. I thought it was, I enjoyed this movie. And again, you guys are right. It's underwritten. It's predictable. But it is, and you're absolutely right when you say it's anchored by Dwayne Johnson. He's just really good in this and identifiable, and they don't do these last big action movies that we've seen, like that idiotic Die Hard movie that we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
John McClane is now absolutely indestructible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the complete opposite of how they play it here, even though physically, Dwayne Johnson should be indestructible. You know what I mean? When you see this guy, because he's a monster. But they play it he plays it very naturally. I thought the relationship between he and his son was really interesting. It is wildly unbelievable, and massively illogical. The screenplay. I mean, you're asked to really, really suspend your disbelief in this movie, big time, because there's not. You know what I mean? So many things in this movie would never happen on planet Earth. But I didn't care. I had a good time. I liked it. And I thought it was a pretty solid action movie with a really terrific performance by Dwayne Johnson and a solid supporting cast. It was much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Bernthal's actually very good
The guy's terrific. He was, for those people who might not know, he was Shane in The Walking Dead.
That's right.
And
emphasis on was.
Yeah, yeah. If nobody's passed season one already, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Sorry.
But anyway. So I'm recommending Snitch. I thought it was good, and really, seriously, a really good performance by Dwayne Johnson.
Was anybody waiting for Barry Pepper, speaking of his goatee, to sort of start handling it like the master in Kill Bill?
That would have been pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah.
That would have worked. All right, what do we got next week?
Next week we got Jack the Giant Slayer.
Right.
We got Last Exorcism Part 2. We got Stoker.
Yeah!
Got 21 and over. And we got Nick's choice for the best film of 2013, Phantom.
Why would I?
Because it's in a submarine.
Oh, yeah, baby! I totally forgot that's what it was called. All right. Well, tomorrow night, you guys, we're going to talk all about the Oscars and get everybody in on that Oscar. And, Eric, why don't you hang on, okay?
Okay.
Because after the news, tell me all about the Oscar contest that eFilm Critic is running.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we want to plug that. Colin, we'll talk to you tomorrow after 11 o'clock, okay, buddy?
All right.
All right, there you go. All right, so let's do this. There. Eric's going to hang on. He's going to explain to you this really great contest, Oscar contest, that the eFilmCritic.com is having.